Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone he scatters. I am a Hebrew. We are Hebrew.
I am a Hebrew, I was born in Texas.
I am a Hebrew, and I am from Florida.
I'm a Hebrew, and I was born in California.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in San Diego, California.
I'm a Hebrew, I was born in Indiana.
I am a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Spain.
私はヘブルで、日本で生まれました。
Soy hebrea, nací en Puerto Rico.
I am a Hebrew. From West Africa, Liberia.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Straight Lake.
We are Hebrew.
Around my sister.
Shalom and greetings. Blessed be the name of the Most High Yah. Hallelujah. I greet you all in the name of Jesus Christ, our HaMashiach. I bless you, bless you, bless you all. Thank you for listening to the series that we've had the past few weeks concerning the topic of polygyny, a man who is covering more than one woman. Hallelujah. It's our custom. And tonight we're going to talk about it again. I have someone else that I'm going to interview, someone new in the topic, but not new to your ears. But before you hear her voice, let's get a sound check there in Georgia with Mother Jennifer.
Hallelujah. Shalom and bless you, Sister Ashley, and blessing to the daughters of Zion. I pray you all can hear me very well. I'm extremely excited about tonight's interview, and this has been a very good topic to discuss, and I just look forward to hearing more. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. 36 days until the land opens up. I hope that you caught the date. March 31st, the land opens up for Peshka, Passover, foot washing ceremony, and service. Our unleavened bread is immediately after that. And March the 11th is the last day that saints will be on the land. So hope you have those dates, March 31st to April the 11th. It's 36 days until March 31st. That's it, 36 days. But it's 40 days until our Passover foot washing service, okay? If I can say service, it's our custom. So call in if you haven't. At this time, there hasn't been a cutoff date on your phone calls, so make sure if you're part of a community or you're coming out for the first time this year, call in, speak with Elder Becker, leave a message with anyone who answers the phone. Call that number you see behind Pastor Dow in his YouTube videos. Hallelujah. And if you're able, bring some paper goods. Send them, mail them, bring them. We have that list out on our social media pages. Mother Jennifer, any announcements?
Other than be a blessing list, call in and let Straightway know what you plan to bring. Other than that, I don't have anything. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Hey, go ahead and introduce tonight our third party, and I'm going to let you go after that, Mother Jennifer. What I want to hear is what she's taught you about polygyny or what you learned from her, as well as any of your thoughts on your heart as you meditated this introduction. Go ahead.
Yes, ma'am. Tonight I am just so happy and honored to introduce our mother, Mother Carol. You know, what she has taught me about polygyny is really beyond words. I can just kind of narrow it down a little bit. Going back to when we first started hearing and learning about polygyny, and when Pastor was teaching and talking about it, you know, Mother Carol was learning firsthand from Pastor Dowell, and she was teaching all the Daughters of Zion about what she had learned from him. And I have seen over the years a woman who loves Yah, and it really showed through her actions. I've seen her follow her husband. I've seen her trust him as he followed Yah, and something that was so foreign to us. I have seen her grow in love, not only for her husband, not only for Yah, but also for her sister wives. I've seen her exhibit so much patience and kindness and selflessness. And, you know, she was really there for the Daughters of Zion, and she remained an example no matter what. Even while learning about polygyny for herself, she remained an example. And so for me, she has been a sister. She's been a friend. She's been a mother, and I am personally blessed to know her and have her in my life, as we all are. And I just want to say bless you, Mother Carol, and blessings to Pastor Dow's entire family, and just thank you all for what you have done for us so that we can be here right now in this moment talking about polygyny. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer, bless you. Bless Elders Home, all of the saints there in Georgia, anyone listening tonight. You are free to hang up. Enjoy the show. Thank you for the introduction. Welcome to the show, Mother Carol.
Bless you, Mother Jennifer. I love you dearly.
Hallelujah.
Praise Yah. All right. Have a good night, Mother Jennifer. Mother Carol, welcome to the show. It's been a while since you sat beside me.
It's been a while, Sister Ashley, but I appreciate being on the show. I always want to, I pray that the Most High Yah will give me words of edification and life for the Daughters of Zion. And I just thank the Father for being here, for being who we are in this walk and in this time, because without him, we are nothing. And everything we do in this life is for him and about him. And I thank the Father for Pastor, of course, who always pushes me and drives me to be what he wants me to be, which is a lover of the Most High Yah. So I thank him, and I just thank all the people in my family and my life and all the saints on this community that do so much behind the scenes, and no one maybe even knows their name, but they're there, and I just want them to know that I appreciate them as well.
Praise Yah. Tonight's topic is polygyny. You are experienced, and I look forward to hearing your mature words. Would you like to lead the way and share what you've been thinking on, or would you like me to just open up and ask some questions?
Well, you go ahead, and I'm sure I will come as we go along.
All right. Thank you for the sound checks. Thank you for the tins. Bless yous coming in from the chat room to Mother. Bless you. And she sends her love back to you. All right. So Sister Chris has said that, Mother, you have been a strong pillar of support to many of us. I've literally had strongholds broken off of me from just seeing Mother Carol, literally. It was just a realization that if she can walk with so much grace and confidence and be an overcomer and just be okay, then so can I. Hope that makes sense. But my first question for you tonight, Mother, is with you being the first wife of this polygynous husband, Pastor Dow, essentially, where did you turn to for guidance, direction, or support, or just any how-tos?
I'll say this. First coming into it, which it's been, I think we were the first in the ministry, so it's been quite a few years, probably around 10 or so. And at that time, it was new. We were just trying this. We were just trying so hard to restore the ways of Yah for Israel, and a lot of people did not know. So as far as turning to any one person, I don't think that I had that. I could talk to my husband in certain areas, but I didn't want to burden him with my emotions at the time. So I mostly leaned on the Most High Yah, who helped me to grow, and my husband helping me to grow as well. But Yah just really made it a way for me to just be able to go to him and confide in those things that I didn't want to burden my husband with at the time.
So you didn't have examples in front
Absolutely
of you?
Absolutely not.
No. Did you have verses that you meditated on?
Absolutely. One mainly, and here, I'll even go to it real quick. Because I know from seeing on the outside looking in, and when my husband first started speaking about it, I had to deal with my own way. And I know that we as women can be a selfish people. And the world teaches you ownership, that you own a man, that he is yours and he belongs to you, but that's just not the case. So my first dealing was with to make sure that I had no selfishness within my own self. So it always brought me back to Philippians. Let's see, it was chapter 2 and verse 3 through about verse 5. And it says, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interest, but to the interest of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus." And in that, knowing that your household is going to be increased, and that there were going to be things that you needed to be a pillar for, you needed to be an example for, you had to get rid of the selfishness. So the Father would always move me to consider others before myself, or to consider someone else, consider their position, consider how it would feel as a woman coming into a family that's already been established, considering her not wanting to express her emotion and her affection to her husband in front of you, thinking that she's going to hurt you. So those kinds of things that I really had to deal with from the beginning within my own self.
So what expectations and responsibilities were placed upon you as a principal wife, even if they were placed upon you by your own self, you know, by your own mind? Like what were your expectations and responsibilities in your own character?
Well, I didn't want to make – Pastor is – he's a man of Yah, and the man of Yah in this generation, in this time and area that we are in. So I didn't want to make him look bad. I did not want to misrepresent his ways, his thoughts, his intentions for why he was even doing polygyny. So through many mistakes that I made, I learned how to be an example so that others would not have the first experiences like I had, you know, the mind battles. And even though they weren't expressed as much emotionally as I see some, but there were still battles in the mind that I had to overcome. And I wanted Daughters of Zion to know we make it hard. It doesn't have to be as hard as we make it. It's about changing your mind. But I did not want to misrepresent Yah through my husband in me.
I want to talk about the concept of sharing, and I'm meaning stop polygyny for just a moment, and let's talk community for just a moment, okay? So with community, what have you learned for the many years? Go ahead and tell everybody what year you came to this land.
We moved on this land in May of 1998. Which will be 25 years this coming May.
All right, so 25 years this coming May. And you learn selflessness, and you learn giving and sharing, and you learn the principles of the Most High outside of marriage, okay, for a minute.
Yes.
All right, we're talking about sharing. Tell me about that experience for you, what sharing was like, or what did you share, what was giving and receiving like?
Well, I'll start back a little bit further, Ashley, because as we're young and growing up, and some of us who are a little bit older, our mothers or fathers or whoever taught us to always be fair, to always share what you have and things like that. So if my mother couldn't buy four, a yellow one, a pink one, an orange, a blue one, and a orange one or something like that, she didn't buy any.
And the four was because?
Because she had four children.
Yes.
So she did everything fair, and she taught me fairness, you know, always be fair. But one thing I learned on coming to community, one, we had nothing, two, really. We all brought everything that we had. I brought a vehicle. My husband brought a vehicle. Everything belonged to the community.
And some people didn't bring a vehicle.
And some people didn't bring anything.
Yes.
Some people just brought themselves. So with that, we learned that everything that we had was for the betterment of the community. It's for the whole. Like the Book of Acts said, they distributed as to those as where the needs were. So the bigger homes went to the bigger families. Families that had five children, I only had two, so they needed a bigger home than, of course, I did. So it was more a need base than a fair and sharing and type of a mindset. And we were so, I don't want to say poor, but we had sold all. We all had plenty in the world, but coming this way, we sold everything that we had and wanted to start this. So we had to learn a new mindset of fairness and sharing, because there were saints that came that maybe didn't have the things that I had. I had plenty of undergarments and plenty of clothing coming in, but there were some that maybe didn't. So if that sister needed something, it would be provided for her. So we had to immediately get out of that mindset of
mine.
Fairness and mine, and I've got to have everything that this person has. I learned that early on community.
Yes, and it really, you know, from my perspective and not living in a, or my husband not being polygynous, sharing, perhaps, okay, and this is my assumption from my inexperience, would help you in living polygyny, though, let me say, you're not sharing a man because he's not your possession.
Absolutely.
Sharing comes from something that is yours. So I don't mean that. But the mentality of sharing really allows you to give and take and receive and give and take and receive habitually, to where it's your custom and it's your nature. And so does that help you mentally in polygyny?
I think absolutely, because it's more of a mindset of wanting, all of us are there to serve this man. All of us are there to please this man. So that part of sharing, yes, let's all pull together and do whatever he needs to be done. But I think a worldly mentality in women says that I'm sharing my man. He belongs to me.
Mine,
that selfish mentality, when in all actuality, he does not belong to you. You don't own him. He, in turn, owns you. So when you are a servant and you have a servant's mind, you'll just want the task to be done, no matter who does it, no matter who does it better, no matter how it's liked or what's said about it. You're all there to just make sure that the job gets done for this man.
All right, so how do you sincerely welcome in a new Ishai, a new woman? How do you best support your husband in that transition?
Well, one, by not being selfish. And the main thing I would say is considering her as
yourself. Yes.
Because that's one thing I think that doesn't take place. It's okay when it's me coming in. I want everything. I want all the attention. I want all the focus to be on me. I want to have all of his time. And I'm not saying this happens across the board, but I'm just giving you an example. so that for understanding for those that may have gone through this. And then when someone else comes in, you don't have that same mindset for her, and that's a false balance. It's hypocritical. So the same way that someone treated you or that you expected to be treated, it's the same way that you should treat someone else coming in. So like I said, it all falls back to selfishness and considering others as yourself or even more than yourself. Because in all actuality, you're already there. You already have the benefits of being in the family. You already have the benefits of being married to this man. So why not want that for someone else?
Did you ever go through a, can I say, a moment or a season of time of idolizing Pastor at any point? Was there a shedding of that to embrace the truth, or was there always, you feel, a proper balance with, this is my man, this is my Yah?
Absolutely, I did.
There was an idolatry.
I did, because that's a mindset that we learn in the world. We learn that this is my husband, and you even say, this is my husband. And that might seem innocent, but it really is reality that we think that. So even before polygyny started, when the 8 or 9 months or however that Yah dealt with me on it, was when I had to deal with all of that, with he's not mine. This is not a possession. Unleash yourself from that so you can learn how to serve me is what I would get from the Most High Yah. So yes, I did go through that. Idolizing my husband in a false balance, because he is the savior of the body, but you have to learn the right way to be able to reverence your husband, and he should be reverenced. But most women have it in a false balance way where he's the best friend, and they treat him like the best friend, which denotes equality. And it's not equal. It's not equality. So I think a lot of times that idolization comes from a sense of equality. Because he's mine, I can do this and I can do that and I can have this and have that. But in all actuality, you have to unleash yourself from that. You have to release your mind from that thinking. So knowing that he belonged to Yah, figuring that out in those months before he actually got into polygyny really gave me a different view on how I treated my husband, how I reverenced him.
Okay. And so I'm going to go to a funny.
Okay.
Me and you, years now, right? 16 years now or
right.
So I've known you. And in the kingdom, in your small room and your small place in this huge mansion, tell everyone what you would like for it to look like.
Oh, of course it would be pink.
And
frilly and frou-frou. And probably with lace and bows and all of that, and full of Yah.
And full of Yah. So we're coming from a really girly background.
No,
right? I thought it was gonna be funny,
right?
It's just in there laughing. So it's a girly, you know, girly is a girl term. So
right. It's
not to a dishonorable term that I intend for you as a mother, because you're an aged woman and you are not a girl. But it's just I could see how, as a child, being truly a girl by gender and by
life
and by mentality, going all the way up to your marriage, that you would have at some point had a fantasy.
Absolutely.
And what was that?
Oh, yeah.
Of marriage. I mean.
The little princess fairy tale marriage, starting with the wedding, starting with the rest of your life with the 2.5 children and the dog and the white picket fence and all of these things. You know, Disney and all of these things put this false sense of fantasy in your mind, and it makes you want that, but then you don't even really know how to deal with life from just thinking that everything's going to be like in a fantasy world. And yes, of course I had that fantasy mentality.
And it shaped your idea of maybe your relationship with Pastor, meaning what was it that you and Pastor in your mind was going to accomplish in this life?
Oh, just grow old together,
grow
enjoy
old
our
together.
Grandchildren, and, you know, all of these things. And
self.
So now, self, just flat out selfish.
Yes.
And now we have that 100-fold.
Right. I wanted to bring that up because I don't know if you have any memory of the vows you may have made in the world, but you did the worldly ceremony, correct?
Yes, we did.
Yes.
We did.
Tell us about that experience. What was it?
Well, of course, me being the girly girl that I was, it had to be big and it had to be frilly and it had to be frou-frou. And when we took our vows, I do remember them. You know, it's been a minute, so
right.
It's hard to remember everything, but right. I do remember them. And I came from a family that did raise you to be with your husband, but they were coming out of that stay in there mentality, and my grandmother was
like
kind of,
stay with your husband,
she
no matter
she
what.
Was like, yeah, you do this, but you know, but you don't need to obey. But yeah, I do. So I remember them saying obey at our ceremony, and my grandmother was like, what? I'm like, well, Grandma, you taught me this, but then you contradict yourself. So, yes, yeah, so I do remember obey being in the vows. And, you know, of course, over time, my husband has spoken many things to me. And I know that this is something that women deal with in polygyny. He has spoken many things to me that have changed over the years.
Which a devil could
yes.
say is a broken promise.
Right.
So how do
right.
you deal with that?
Because Yah, even though he does not change, but he forgives us. So I look at change like forgiveness. So because we're growing and constantly evolving and growing into the knowledge of the truth every day and getting stronger and stronger in him, you have to almost expect change. And I think I was the way I was brought up, military, where you were always moving, there was always a change in your life. You never knew what state you were going to live in, what country, what place, all of these things. Your friends changed. I think that helped me to be able to deal with the changes a little bit better. But things that he's even told me that he wouldn't do, now he finds himself doing them. But that's because of the growth in knowledge, because he didn't have an understanding back then. Maybe 30, 40 years ago, but now he has a better understanding, and now he's going to follow Yah no matter what. So I embrace the change. I embrace the new vows that come forth instead of holding on to them as a detriment and allowing Satan to use my mind.
So when you help sisters, or if you do, in regards to holding on to those vows
mm-hmm.
or having an offense,
mm-hmm.
associated with a prior promise or vow,
mm-hmm.
what do you say to them? The same thing that you just said here? Or?
And I can give them an example. Let's say that we have a woman that has 2-3 children, and she says, I'm not going to have any other children. And then she gets pregnant and has another child. So that's a vow. She says she's not going to have any more children, but now she's got another child. So is she not going to love that child because she had another one? Absolutely not. She's going to love that child just as much as she did the first one and the other three. So we have to adjust our minds to be able to accept things that take place in life. And so that's an example that I have given a few daughters of Zion, hopefully for them to grip an understanding, because a reference you can always use is children, because we can love our children, we can love all of them the same, but then we don't expect a man to be able to do that with women when he's made in the image of Yah. So making a woman look at herself through the eyes of her children and her through her children's eyes and them to her kind of brings a shock to the mind. Oh, okay, now I see, because then you can have an understanding.
So you brought up children. Let's go there. I see your love for Hezekiah as if he was from your womb.
Absolutely.
Though he's not. And then I also would assume, because I'm not in the house, that you have Summer, who is the mother, who would perhaps be different as you as a mother, meaning we're all different as mothers.
Yes.
You know, Angelica and I were great together as mothers, but we're very different.
Right.
You know, so in your home, how do you love this child as your own and respect her as a mother to
yes.
allow her to make the decisions for him that are different from you?
Absolutely. She birthed him.
Yes.
Even though my love for him is, I can't even measure how much I love him. But I love him as an additional mom. She's mom. I'm Mama Carol. There's Mama Nellie. So there's a difference. So I've had my time of raising children. And there's some things that I may throw out there to her. She can receive it or she doesn't. But we allow her to be mom. This is her first experience, and I want her to get to experience all the joys of motherhood. We're in a different time, and there's different things and gadgets and all of these kind of things that would be different, but you do have to allow this mother to be a mother. And in that, you get the joy of just being in that child's life. You get the joy of being a mom and watching another mother raise your husband's seed, and it's a beautiful thing.
So I can see how your standpoint in your mind is very mature. So let's say it was a struggle for someone else,
right?
Okay, that might be in the same scenario, that might have, you know, the man might have different children,
mm-hmm.
because this is the restoration and it is
yes.
new.
Yes.
Okay, so if this mother does things differently, would you say that it's easy for someone to take it personal when she doesn't receive, okay, I'm going to try to ask it this way.
Okay.
Multiple women, like you just said, mama, mama, mama.
Yes.
And we're all raising this child. So if mom doesn't receive your advice or the way you would do it or, then if someone's offended, what would you say to them? Because you don't carry an offense. You're not bothered if someone says, nope,
right.
Mother care, I'm not going to do that.
Right, right.
But what if someone is? That's what I'm trying to get to. How could you help the mom that might be or the sister wife that might be bothered?
By the same thing I've said before, considering one as yourself. If you were a mother and you had certain expectations for your child, you would want them fulfilled. So you can't put a stipulation on someone else that you're not capable of producing yourself. So the hypocrisy can't be. You know, I asked Summer, can he have snack? What can he have? What do you want him to eat for dinner? What?
Right.
She's his mom.
Yes.
So now when she's not there, we do a little something, but she don't have to know all that. No, I'm
sorry, Summer.
He might eat Doritos. And
yeah.
But, you know, that's just the joy of having another mom.
Yeah.
You know,
right,
having
right,
different
right.
personality women. But you do have to always consider one as yourself. Consider how you would feel if you were the mom. If you birthed him and you have other women in his life that won't obey what you tell them to do. So if you consider yourself in everything or put yourself in someone else's position, hopefully, usually that will spark a change.
I commend you all, you know, for raising him, for respecting mom,
yes.
you know, because he came from Summer's womb, and then just being the role that you need to be for him. It's a very beautiful dynamic. And pastors often made humorous comments towards Mama Nelly, who just can't discipline him. Is that
right,
true?
Right.
Is that true? Is that really
well,
true?
Well, both of us have a little bit harder
a
time.
A little
we
bit
try,
of a slack.
We try to, you know, because we're older.
Yeah.
We're like grandma age,
yeah.
but mom.
Yes.
So
you know you don't have to be
right,
mom.
Right, right, right. I know Summer's going to get him.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the beauty of being a young mother. She's still got that spark, whereas I was tough when my children were coming up. But now my age makes me a little bit more lenient,
yes.
but I'm not going to let him get away with something that he shouldn't.
Right.
But, you know, still, because the love is there, and, you know, we know chastisement is love. But it's just the beauty of him knowing that's mom. And sometimes I'll say, I'm going to tell mom, you know, or
yes.
I'm going to tell daddy he's
right.
going to get the ride.
And
you know, you better. And
right.
I put that on them. But if I had to, I would. But he's just.
He melts your ice cream.
Yes, he melts my ice cream.
Oh, hallelujah.
Yeah.
All right, jump to expectations. Let's go there. Let's say that I'm totally assuming that you would have expectations if you are not in a polygynous relationship that when you get in one are not at all what you thought. Right? I don't know. Just maybe that's how our minds do things, expectations. For the woman, maybe expectations. For the man, maybe expectations. Tell me about what comes to mind when I drop expectations into your heart.
Well, because when we first did it, there were no expectations because we had no idea what we were doing. This was just all new for all of us. But then now it's been in the ministry for a while, so the expectations should be those of love, those of peace, those of unity, those of bonding together, those of establishing tribal mentality for your family. You know, it should be the tribe of Carswell, the tribe of Dowell, the tribe of Muir, you know what I mean? These kind of things, the tribe of Becker. It should be these tribal mentalities, and that should be your expectations. You know, if Pastor says he's going to get another, and I'm like, okay, let's get her on the bandwagon, rolling. You
yeah.
know, and I've got to, let's do it. Let's move on.
Yeah, let's
you know,
teach
but
her,
let's
yeah.
teach her. Let's teach her how to, because that's more help to meet his needs. And that's more, it actually gives us as women more time to spend with Yah. So embracing another woman means, one, you have more love in the family. You have someone else that can, yes, one, it is, you see a man being able to cover the woman and her being able to have a head, and it's a beautiful thing. But you also see the, gosh, how can I word it? The established wholeness of him by the accepting of another. And the more women embrace doing it righteously, it actually strengthens the man. If it's a bunch of contention and confusion over someone coming in or something like that, that's going to put such a strain on the man mentally, spiritually. You understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely. So women getting the jobs done, whatever the husband says, I'm throwing another question in.
Okay.
Husband says, let's do this, 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 this. And the women just have the mentality that, well, we're going to get it done, but there's not going to be love for one another in it.
Mm.
How do you, or what comes to your mind with that scenario?
Sadness comes to my mind with that scenario. If, like, let's say your sister, if your sister has a task, and that's her task, and she's not, you know, she's not feeling well, or she didn't sleep last night, or something to that nature. You can just see the tiredness on her face. Go in and do it. Summer and I, because we live in the house together, it's easier to use her as an example. And Nellie comes over and does stuff too, and she helps and everything. But right there, like, if Summer cooked him food, I may not have even eaten that day or that week. I'm gonna go in and wash the dishes. Well, come on. You know what I mean? We all working together on this, and she vice versa with me. Or Nellie will come in and just do something. So it's about working together, you know, and developing relationship together. I tell people you do get to spend a lot more time because Pastor's at home, even though he's very, very busy. It's a little bit different than when we were younger and married. So he is there. He's not in the military anymore and things like that. So because but some women don't have the husband at home in polygyny. So it's mostly the women.
Yeah.
The husband is out working, and it's mostly the women together, so you're spending more time with each other than you ever get to do with the man. So when the man comes in, there should be an atmosphere of peace and love instead of contention and all of these things that we know takes place. Come on, let's be real. It takes place. It shouldn't, but it does take place. Now, I'm not saying that every day is a bed of roses, because that would be unrealistic, even in life, even in your own family. There are some times when you're going to rub each other, or you didn't like what she said, or this, that, or the other, or whatever. But do what you got to do, get it solved, and get over it, and let's move on. Because we don't want him to feel that, that contention in the air, that spirit of peace that leaves the house.
Hallelujah. All right, so I've asked a lot of questions. Do you have anything that's popped up, anything, any verses? I want to ask you about... do you want to go to a break?
Sure, let's go to a break.
All right. If you have questions for Mother, type them in the chat. How about that? Make them according to the topic and as mature as possible, please. Hallelujah. Let's go to a break. Sakina, play something for us. I'm back with Mother Carol, talking tonight about polygyny. A man can cover more than one woman and her master, head, and husband. Pastor Charles Dow does. So how do you work with women with different mindsets? It seems to be a common question. And I'm sure maybe you talk to other polygynous couples who are trying to gel and really trying to love one another with different minds. Go ahead.
Even in the world, you dealt with people with different mindsets and personalities, but truth be told, all of us as women should line up with the women of the book, what the word says that we should be. And I say this all the time. We should be loving. We should be kind. We should be tenderhearted. We should be gentle. We should be chaste, keepers at home, love our husbands, raise our children. With different personalities, it's fine. But as long as your personality doesn't cause contention, as long as your personality is not so bold that it causes friction and contention in the house. So personality is fine. Line up with the word. But if you do have someone that just, their personality is so contrary to you, learn how to make it work. You know, if you know that there's things that you really just can't say around your sister, don't offend. Don't offend in that manner. So, and vice versa, the one that might be the bolder one or something like that, don't offend your sister that might be more meek in spirit. So it's about considering others as yourself and considering one another, even if your personalities clash.
And being lowly, right?
Absolutely.
Being lowly in mind.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it doesn't mean being a doormat, but it does mean sometimes take the low road.
Yes.
And then sometimes it depends on the situation. I'm not saying don't stand your ground ever, because right is right and wrong is wrong. And it's about righteousness. It's about living righteously.
So how would you instruct someone who is in it, who might have tough times when her and another woman are not on the same page? What do you say to them? What does it look like? How do you become successful, one or both? I think it's kind of the same question. But what do you tell her concretely? This is what you need to do, sis, while you're not on one accord.
Right. I think they need to go to their husband, see what their husband requires of them, Ask him what he wants them to be, how he wants them to change, what areas he would like to see come up in different things, because they're doing this to establish his family. So if they would get the feedback from him and then honestly make changes according to what the husband cares for in his household so that there can be peace.
Yes, because there are fears presented to women's minds that would say, the woman's going to be one way with him,
mm-hmm.
and then another way with the women behind the scenes.
Absolutely.
So that's the hypocrisy that you mentioned, the word hypocrisy earlier.
Right,
so
right.
The things you have to work through,
right?
Right,
absolutely. You have to work through that and try not to do the hypocritical ways. If, you know, you don't want to keep a record of wrongs with your sister or anyone, but you need to make sure that you're establishing a good, friendly relationship in the household. So if they're just not gelling and they find out from the husband what exactly they need to do, then honestly work on that. And if everybody's really honest with themselves, they won't present one way in front of their husband and then another way in front of their sisters.
So I have another question, and I want you to tell me pastor's mind, which I believe you've told me pastor's mind from the beginning of the show, but I want to put that out there, because if you say to me, I don't know, or I won't answer that, or let me give you my, I just want to throw that out there early. I take emails, we do, Straightway Help Me, take emails over the course of years, and not always many, but they do, you know, flow in of men that are usually not brothers that we know, by the way,
okay.
But maybe they're in other faiths, maybe they're in other ministries, but the women listen to us or watch us, and, you know, use us in their own lives and apply. Okay. So that's usually the circumstance. And the husband, from time to time on emails, takes another woman from the world.
Okay.
And takes a woman who is, let's say, not experienced in the word or the faith, mm-hmm. or even just, as I said earlier, the way that you were taught selflessness, mm-hmm. coming on early in the community. She wouldn't have that. She's coming straight out of Babylon, mm-hmm. or the world and into this home. So what do you, or how do you help her, or what's your husband's, just where's his mind go with that scenario?
Well, you know, when it's people outside of the truth of the covenant that we know, it's really hard to
help
say
them.
You know, don't do this, because they're going to do it anyway. And to take a woman out of the world whose mindset does not want to conform just creates a dangerous atmosphere for his own house. So those women that are really trying, really struggling and trying to make this work and get along, try to work with, they need to have a good enough relationship with their husband where they can talk to him honestly about things that may be taking place in the home, or about the changes that are not taking place from a woman that's straight out of the world, maybe doesn't, you know, really gel, but do give her time to be able to change and conform if that be the case. But in this, Pastor doesn't recommend taking a woman straight off the world. Now, I know there were war brides and things to that nature, but we're not in war right now. However, they can look out and see a woman, but a good, godly, righteous man is going to know that this woman is willing to make changes in her life and not bring about stress and contention on his own household. So it is his preference, but they are going to try to, like I said, a righteous man is going to try to choose a woman that can mold to his liking to be involved in his family. For those women that have husbands that have not, I don't really have a lot for them except for maybe to speak with their husband on things that they might see taking place, and hopefully that the woman can change. Pray for her, hopefully pray with her to try to get her to a place where she really wants to serve the Most High Yah.
Endure.
In that situation, it would be an enduring.
Absolutely. And there are circumstances that we even the more so you who live it and pastor who does it in righteousness.
Yes.
There are scenarios that we just don't support.
Right.
Like
right.
Maybe he's not ready. Maybe she's not the one. Maybe
right.
Like it's not like everyone just needs to do this.
And not just even in polygyny. That's all across the board. Marriage
taking a woman
in itself.
Yes.
Taking a woman that is not going to be to your mind, he can advise, and he does advise. Brother, you might not want to do that right now, but he doesn't micromanage and keep the man from doing it because it is his right and his decision. However, 99.9% of the time, those same men come back and can't deal with this woman, or vice versa. You know, so you have to, we have these wise men in our presence so that we can get righteous counseling. But sometimes he's not listened to either, and he lets them do what they want to do and do their way, and it always comes back.
How do you counsel women that maybe one of them is more isolated when she's going through her emotions,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe more reserved,
mm-hmm.
maybe more pulled away to herself, dealing with herself more differently in her battle than you would? Maybe one wants to confront and wants to talk and wants to get it out, and one just don't. But how would you advise that situation if one sister is avoiding the other,
mm-hmm.
avoiding talking about it, avoiding handling it, avoiding facing each other,
right.
and just pulling away?
And sometimes...
What do you say to the one who's not?
Who's pulling away or the one
away,
that's not?
You know,
who
wants to reach the one that is just simply quieter than her.
Sometimes going in humility works. Maybe she could go to that sister in complete humility. Sis, I really love you, and I want us to get this solved. I'm not going to raise my voice. We're not going to shout. We're not going to scream. We're just going to sit and talk. How can I make this better for you? How can I remedy the situation? And sometimes that will do
it. Forgive me.
Forget, absolutely, absolutely.
It's not you with a finger pointed out.
It's about humility, because so oftentimes humility will smooth everything over. And I'm not saying every time, I'm not saying you have to be a doormat, like I said before, but, you know, Yah has a special place for the lowly of heart, for the meek, and some people are just not confrontational, and they can't handle that kind of thing. It messes with their emotions, it messes with their body. They can even feel it within them, and with nervousness, with nausea. You have to consider your sister in that. If she's not a confrontational person, maybe she can't handle it to that degree. So take a little bit of time. Maybe wait an hour or two, then go to your sister. Go pray. Father, how can I humble myself and go to my sister where she could receive it, where she will open up and tell me what it is, what I'm doing, what she's doing, so that we can work this out, so that there can be peace in our home.
And you better be mature enough to hear what she says.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because she's probably going to be telling you the truth.
Yes.
Absolutely. And then once the truth comes out, let's make changes. Let's all make changes.
Let's reevaluate.
Absolutely.
All right. So what you got? Something to share?
Well, I you asked me about any scriptures or anything, of course. You know, we all go to all the scriptures of Proverbs 31 and everything, and, of course, everyone ascribes to that nature of a woman, that type of a woman, but very few actually reach it. But the scriptures that I wanted to go over are the ones that can really prick our hearts and cause us to change for our husband's sake and for the sake of the Most High, Yah. Sirach 25. And 16, I would rather live with a lion and a dragon than live with an evil woman. And I'm reading out of the New King James Version. A woman's wickedness changes her appearance and darkens her face like that of a bear. Her husband sits among the neighbors, and he cannot help sighing bitterly. Now, how many times have you seen a brother come in that's just heavy? Whether he has one wife or 20 wives, he's heavy, and you can automatically feel that man is not at peace in his home. It shouldn't be. But this is what we're not changing as women. And then another thing, I you see coming before service and coming here, and it's all loves and hugs and kisses, and then you get home and you show your husband nothing, and you're contentious, and you're loud, and you're talking back, and all of these things, and you think Yah doesn't see it. You think Yah doesn't hear it. But nothing is secret before his eyes. Everything that we do, how we treat our husbands, is a reflection of our love for Yah. How much we say we love Yah, we stand with our hands up and praise him, but then you talk to your husband in a way at home that just should not be. He walks in, he doesn't even have peace. And I'm not saying the man is perfect in every aspect. Well, you be the righteous woman then. You be the one that makes him so at peace that he can't help but to be a strong man, be a strong man of Yah. But I'm going to go on. Any iniquity is small compared to a woman's iniquity. May a sinner's lot befall her. A sandy of scent for the feet of the aged. Such is a garrulous wife to a quiet husband. Do not be ensnared by a woman's beauty, and do not desire a woman for her possessions. There is wrath and impudence and great disgrace when a wife supports her husband. Dejected mind, gloomy face, and wounded heart come from an evil wife. Drooping hands and weak knees come from the wife who does not make her husband happy. From a woman, sin had its beginning, and because of her, we all die. Allow no outlet for water and no boldness of speech to an evil wife. If she does not go as you direct, separate her from yourself. And I didn't want to be the one that came on and giving all the bad and negative and scriptures of that, but I have to say what I need to say.
I believe it's very balanced, Mother.
Hallelujah.
Continue.
Happy is the husband of a good wife. The number of his days will be doubled. You say you love your husband, but you diminish his time and his life on this earth from stress, from worry, from contention, from lack of peace. you should want your husband's life doubled. A loyal wife brings joy to her husband, and he will complete his years in peace. He shouldn't have to worry about what you're doing, where you're going, what you're saying, your phone, his phone, any of these things. It just should not be in Israel. There should be a peace and a trust that your husband has for you that is unmatched on anyone else on this earth. He should be able to do that within you. A good wife is a great blessing. She will be granted among the blessings of the man who fears Yah. Whether rich or poor, his heart is content, and at all times his face is cheerful. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. No problem hearing it at all from me, Mother. Thank you for posting it there in the chat room. Would you like to add to those verses?
I think I've probably said all that I need to say. I just do want to encourage the daughters of Zion. Sometimes we can regard life as such a struggle and regard the things that we hear in our soul or as is taught to us in our mind. But first and foremost, develop your relationship with Yah, and he will cause you to serve your husband like a king. Develop that. Get that intimacy with the Most High Yah. Spend those nights that your husband is not with you when he's with his other Ishaya. Spend those nights in prayer, listening to songs of Zion, reading his word, learning more about him, just meditating. He'll give you visions, dreams of peace. He will encourage you. So don't look at this as being something that you've lost or something that you have to supposed share. They're not ours to share. They belong to the Most High Yah. Put yourself as the bride that you are supposed to be, just as your husband is putting himself as a bride to the Most High Yah. He's doing what he's doing so that he can fulfill his role and be pleasing to our Yah, to our Father and King. Likewise, do you, so that you can show Yah your love for him by how you're loving your husband and showing him, I can do it with this man that you put me under on earth, so that he can judge you in the kingdoms of heaven and in his courts in righteousness and holiness.
Two more questions that I know of from me right now. Are you required to be friends with your co-wife or sister wife? Is that the end goal or vision, or is that subject to each man's vision for their own home? Should all sister wives be friends?
I think there should be a bond of closeness. I think there should be a tribal family mentality. You have sisters in the world, correct?
Yes.
And even though...
You love them no matter what, by the way.
You love them no matter what. Mm-hmm. Even though Misty, I'm sure, sometimes got on your nerves.
Every last one. She's talking about my natural sister. We jump into that one. Yep.
You would defend Misty till the death.
Yes.
You love her unconditionally.
And go to sleep in peace.
And go to sleep in peace. Then how can we do that in the world and not want to do it amongst
the more so
the blood sisters that Yah has given us?
Right.
Absolutely.
And if you're the one that wants that,
yes,
and you have a sister wife who you don't believe wants that, endure, correct?
You do right.
You do right.
You do right. You do righteously. So that Yah's going to judge you, not anyone else. He's going to judge you on how you react. Sometimes those things are done there to test you to see how you're going to react and how you're going to respond. And the more you get it right, maybe that test will change. Maybe that sister will learn to love you. Maybe that sister will want to be a family. Maybe that sister will want to bond to you. Now, I'm not saying that you, sometimes there's age differences where you're wonderful friends, your family and all of this, but there's, you know, like a mom-daughter thing. You understand what I mean? Because we're this is polygyny. A man's not going to take a 20-year-old and expect a 69, 70-year-old and them to be buddy-buddy chum and pals dressing alike. He wants it to be an honorable, respectful relationship in his home of love and peace and bondage and a tribe of family.
Hallelujah. Family.
Family. It's
yeah.
family.
Bond meaning bond, not bondage. Being
no,
bondage.
Absolutely.
Yes, I understand.
Bound together
bound
by
together.
Love for Yah and by love for your husband.
Absolutely. Hey, so I try sometimes when I'm interviewing, this is just kind of off topic, just relaxing, communicating with you for a second. I try when I'm interviewing to think about how the audience is thinking, thinking about how they would, what they would want to hear, how they would hear, or what they want to ask. And I also sometimes try to think about our enemy, the Hasatan, mm-hmm. how he might interject thoughts into the minds of listeners. And I kind of come from that sometimes. So I don't know if y'all know that about me, but in this ministry, Mother, there are a lot of people who aren't married. And so you have marriage as a focal point right now with the Spirit of Yah leading this ministry, really referring to it often. How do you advise them to hear without the enemy's infiltration in the mind, the condemnation or the, you know, the inferiority?
Mm-hmm.
Because you have single brothers who
mm-hmm.
have no women.
Right.
And we're talking about a man with many.
Yes.
You know, you have upright single men. And then you have women who are preparing themselves for a scenario that they're unaware of. Maybe it'll happen when, don't know. You know, you have all this happening in the midst. But do you, here's the question, feel superior because you're in polygyny? And do they, and should they feel inferior?
Absolutely not.
And that's what we need to hear you talk about for a moment, please.
Absolutely. We're all in different stages and different walks in our life. This is the stage that Yah has me in for my perfection, for my growth. I feel like women that are single, you're still a bride, but you need to practice being a bride to the Most High Yah so that you can be a good bride when you become a bride to a man here on this earth. So you're not lacking anything in that aspect. And I hope that when we talk about marriage and we discuss these things, that women are taking this into their relationship with Yah, because we don't relate it to the Most High often enough. All of this is about Him. It's all about
yes.
our love and our servitude
him,
to the Most
him,
High.
Him. Yes.
This is a pattern that He shows us. This man is our salvation here on this earth to make it to the kingdom with Yah. So it's like it's not a hard puzzle to figure out. But if you consider yourself wanting to be married someday, be married to Yah. Right now, the word says that those that are unmarried care for the things of Yah. Those that are married care for the things of their husband. You are he's telling you that you're his bride. He wants you to focus on him. He wants you to pray, study, fast, do all these things now while you have the time to do it. It's a beautiful stage in your life. And be content. And Yah will bring the right person to choose you. Then you will have such a stability of relationship of how much your love for Yah is and how you treat him that you'll treat your husband like you want Yah to be represented. He's your representation on this earth of how you would treat Yah. So then you'll know how to treat your husband like a king, how to serve him, how because you've already practiced being a bride. So I think the focus is people are supposed to have a desire to get married. What young women are supposed to want to get married, absolutely. But while you're not, give your time to the Most High so that when you do have this man, you'll be ready for him so that you can be a good bride.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right, so let's wrap it up, Mother. I have no more questions pertaining to this topic. I don't know if anyone out there does. I think everyone's really enjoying it. When I go back up to the chat room, if you guys have any questions, please type them in because I'm at an hour with Mother Carol. It could be another year before I interview. Come on.
Hallelujah.
Where's the questions? Why am I empty? But you've said a lot. You've said enough. One sister says, Shalom, Mother Carol, thank you for being such a beautiful example for us sisters to learn from. And Brother Steve, Sister Wenda says, Mother Carol, you're a pioneer in this. Bless you for living for y'all, being a great example and a teacher for us. Bless y'all for your wisdom. Being an example like you are, Mother, how do you talk to yourself to maintain being an example? Because you know what you need to change. You know what you're working on. You know where your heart is. You know all that introspective details about yourself. So how do you maintain being an example?
One, I make sure that I tell myself that you can't afford to do certain things like others do.
Why?
Because you have to be an example.
Yeah.
The burden is laid upon me.
Yes.
And I know the influence that there is, not just being pastor's wife, but also being a mother in Israel. And my love for Yah won't allow me to do certain things. Even my thoughts get checked so quick. Even my thoughts. And I'm grateful for it. Others might be able to do things and go by days and days and days and get no conviction.
I get it.
I'm not that way, and I'm grateful for it. But
hallelujah.
I have such a, I don't want to say a burden, but such a press on me to want to please the Most High and want to please my husband that my walk has to line up with that. And so I can't afford to damage any soul in a manner that's going to cause them to stumble, to sin in a certain manner or anything. So I can't give myself even an inch of space.
Hallelujah.
Can't.
A mother of grace. And that pressure, if you want to call it pressure, comes from Yah.
Absolutely.
It's not forced by anyone else.
It's him.
It's him. All right, let's see. One sister says, let me read it. How do you walk through the situation if your master asks you to tell him about sisters that he could consider as a new wife when he's already been told by leadership to wait?
Well, if you can... You do need to obey your husband by, if he's asking you a question about a sister, you can tell him about the sister, but I would still stress, you spoken with the elders? You know, it's not anything wrong with, women want their husband to be obedient in this ministry, and rightfully so, because the leaders and the elders know actually kind of what's best. They've seen it before. They've seen you before. You know, they've seen your nature. They've seen your character. They're looking at this woman, and they don't want you to make the same mistakes. Now, they're not going to force you not to. They're not going to say you can't. But they're going to advise, brother, I wouldn't do this. Brother, I wouldn't do this. So you, as a sister, pray for your husband to have righteous judgment in who he picks as a woman, to be sound, to be obedient, to listen to the elders and the spirit of Yah that speaks through them. So oftentimes you want to talk these battles out when you should be going to the Most High, who's the only one that can make any situation go away or stay or change or any of these things. So go to the Most High. If you have a situation with your husband and you know the right way, go to the Most High and intercede for him. Father, please give my husband righteous judgment. I know that he's your man, Father. Please just lead him, guide him, strengthen him in his decisions, Father. Give him clear righteous judgment in anyone that he picks, and let me be righteous in how I treat anyone that he brings in. You need to talk with the Most High.
That's a really good answer. I apologize. I almost interjected too early because I wanted to add to it. You mentioned earlier your grandma, for example, going all the way back to when you were married. 1986. Y'all remember I said
the wedding was 1986.
The wedding was 1986. I was four. And before that, and there's a term that Pastor said where he's like, you know, when Papa was a Rolling Stone, there was a time where Mama just stayed at home.
Yes.
And so It's not, let's pretend, okay, it's not 2023, and let's go all the way back. Let's go 1986. Let's go back even before that. There was a time where a woman truly just, if he went down, she went with him, and if he rose up, she rose with him.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's something that we don't have in our haughty nature.
Yeah.
To be able to say, I'm going where you go. If you fall, I'll go with you.
Yeah.
And then when you rise, I'll go with you. Because Yah's dynamic of humbling people
mm-hmm.
is different than our haughty mentality. You know, and I just want to put that in your mind so you could talk on it. But if Yah's going to test your husband or put something in his mind,
mm-hmm.
you know, to... It doesn't matter what he may have to go through because it's the perfecting of his soul, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's his relationship with the Father, too. There's a bond there where you see each other endure and learn
yeah.
and grow,
yeah.
you know, and not have a mind so quick to say, a mind of control to say, mm-hmm. No, we're not doing it. Stop, you know, that
right.
kind of like really getting in the way. So I just wanted to, you know, put that in your mind, too, because that's kind of opposite.
I believe we as mothers and aged women and married women, when we talk to the younger daughters of Zion, it's something that we have to establish. And I tell every young daughter that is getting married, we take this very seriously. This marriage is for life.
Yes.
And I was brought up that way. Even though I'm a child of divorced parents, I was telling someone the other day, now one, I do have Dad Dal and Granny Ruth that were married for 61 years. So there's longevity in my husband's family line. My grandmother was a widow twice. My mother never remarried. Her and my dad were divorced. But I will say, when they got divorced, we were like, okay, what happened as children? Because I never heard them argue. I never heard her speak a bad word against him. I always heard her speak to him respectfully. So as children, we kind of were like dumbfounded. We didn't know what happened because marriage is for life. So if we establish this in Yah, our marriage with the Most High is for life and then some and the life to come. So if we establish that in our young daughters right now, as we go forward, they'll have that mentality and that spirit will be upon them. Now, even though, like I said, I came from divorced parents, but it was still instilled in me, marriage is for life. By my mother, my grandmother, and pastor's parents, Dad Dal and Granny Ruth, marriage was for life. And I've watched many of them go through things. I've been through things. He's been through things. We all have.
Yes.
But marriage is for life. And I believe if we establish that amongst our young daughters, then the mentality and that spirit will be in our people.
Yes, hallelujah. Beautiful. Many people in the comments saying beautiful, wow, and thank you. Bless you all for your obedience, humility, and love for Yah. The past couple of sisters have been really edifying. Oh, Yah, well, thank you for your perfect patience and endurance. Mother Carol, anything else to end the show? Anything that you even meditated on during the week that you didn't want to forget to express? Was there anything there? As you knew that fifth day was your turn. She's thinking
I think about I did have something, and of course, you know, my mind sometimes it just forgets. It's things slip.
All right.
But I do want to thank the Father for the experience of polygyny that I've been able to experience. I believe it has caused growth, not only within myself, but I've watched my husband and my sisters grow in grace and knowledge and truth. So I thank the Father for Pastor for leading us in a way that's going to perfect me, that's going to make sure that I get to the kingdom in a perfected state. And I could not have done it in my own mindset or in my own way. And I also thank the Father for my sister Nellie and my sister Summer and, of course, my little Hezekiah. And to be honest, in the future, if my husband decides to bring in anyone else, I thank the Father for her as well.
Hallelujah. All right, Sakina, I'm going to end the show with a clip from last Friday night's Vlog Talk Radio, and then you can sound your shofar. Thanks to anyone, hallelujah, who has the spirit to hear what the Spirit says to the assembly. Bless y'all.
Carol and I got married. We've been together ever since 1983. Some of y'all wasn't born.
No. I wasn't. No.
And and we got legally married in 86.
Yeah.
You can't see if you were born, didn't you?
No, I was just young.
I know you were born.
I was 10 years old.
Yeah.
I was 10 years old. Mm.
And we had this big ridiculous wet. It was ridiculous, man.
What's your car?
Back then the wedding, I know it was over $8,000.
Wow, I think it was back then.
Man, her dress was about $2,000.
She felt special.
Man, there were so many people at that dress. You know what I was, right? I'm like,
this is a waste of damn money.
Yeah. I said, why do this? Why not just everybody just have them to send us some money,
yeah,
and we get a good damn
exactly.
Star?
You start
off with $8,000. Well, it's only $8,000. Everybody only getting married. What time? And everybody, wait. Just none of this shit never makes sense to me. None of this stuff never makes sense to me. I know I'm, you can ask her. I never went along with none of this stuff.
I like how you
can
post to
it.
Yeah, man, I'm the man's man, eh? I'm the man's man for proposing,
huh? Hey, look at the glove department.
Pause. How did he propose? She's been holding
up her lap. Oh,
how did he propose,
mother? For those that don't know, we were, of course, riding around doing something, who knows what, and he said, well, there's a ring in the glove compartment if you want it. That was pretty much it. I know.
Damn uncouth, man. This is real. And, anyway, we here.
Yeah,
Mom Carol has been a good wife.
Hallelujah.
She ain't perfect. I ain't perfect. I think that we're perfect where we at. But we always gonna find, being as fallible and flawed as we all are, we always gonna, that's why we're going on to perfection. Because we're gonna keep rolling, you know what I mean? But people fool if you get a wife like that, been with you all these years and then you think you're gonna get rid of her and get somebody better, you forget that shit. She fully is stimulated.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way women are supposed to be. You know, when you get married, you when you married, not where you, when y'all consummate, we're going to do a ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have a woman, she's been trained up in the way that she should go.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, y'all ain't going to have nowhere near the problems that these damn experienced Gentile women come into the faith being in the ring. Y'all not going to have all this stuff, man.
No,
you